This is a production of the Z-Talk Radio Network. The views expressed and opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Z-Talk Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Tear down this wall.
Broadcasting live from Z-Talk Studios in beautiful downtown Virginia, Minnesota. It's Z-Talk Live with your hosts, Joel Sturgis and Scotty Rourke.
Hey there, Scotty. Another week of Z-Talk Live is here
again.
Yeah,
baby.
Yeah, and tonight we got a really good guest coming on. His name is Nick Redfern. I've interviewed Nick before. You've interviewed Nick before. And he's always a great interview because we're not talking about ghosts tonight. We are talking about monsters. That's right. You know, the different things that are out there. Jersey Devil, Loch Ness Monster, Bigfoot, your mother-in-law. You know, all those things fall under the monsters.
My mother-in-law? No way.
Yes, never your mother-in-law. She's just fine. That's right.
She listens to the station. Dude, I can't get to that.
Oh, mine doesn't. So he's hunting for my mother-in-law.
We promised some big news tonight, and
yeah,
we're going to get it.
Well, the first one is not such a... it is, but it isn't. It's going to be a little bit ground-shaking for some of the talent here at Z-Talk Live. Z-Talk Radio, and I say this with a very, very heavy heart. I am stepping down as general manager.
Yes, you are.
I'm stepping down as general manager. I am going to be pursuing a little bit different avenue. Doesn't mean I'll be gone forever. It just means I'm stepping down for now. I can't really go into details of why I'm stepping down due to some stuff that's going on.
Contractual.
That's
contractual
right.
Contractual details. We can't
get into it. Can't get into it. But you know, you haven't seen the last of me. Now, you know, we'll continue doing this show as well.
Oh, this show will be on every week, every Monday.
It will be on, but you know, the thing of it is, God, I started with you, Scotty. When we had two shows. Let me just reminisce for... No, I did not get
booted. Let's go down memory lane.
We started this radio network back when it was called Dark Plains Radio. And we had two shows. And back then it was Spooks or Us and Dark Plains Radio Show.
Your show. Yeah.
And that was it. That was it, man. It was just you, me, you know, the few other people that have gone, left us, you know, now. You know, and we went from that to what we are today, Z-Talk Radio, and I'm really proud of all the accomplishments, and I've been really pleased to get to know each and every one of our hosts on a personal level, as well as a professional level, watch them grow and watch them thrive, you know, as people and as hosts. I do say this quite a bit. Actually, I kind of, I would be lying if I didn't say I'm misting up just a little bit.
Yes, you are.
You know, because it's...
You're my brother, man. I love you.
No,
and,
I know.
But unfortunately, your new endeavor is awesome for you and your family, and that's what you need to go with.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't mean...
You know what I mean?
You know, it doesn't
and
mean...
It's not that means you're not going to be here at the station helping out and doing stuff like that, but you're no longer in the role that you were.
No. And I'd like to officially give this to Scotty. You are now acting general manager of Z-Talk
Radio.
Yes,
I am.
So...
Now, I missed it up, for God's sakes.
You know, you're now acting general manager, and I know the seat will be there should the day come back that I want to come back.
Oh, yeah, it's always yours if you come back, and when you come back. Let's just put it that way, when you come back.
You know, I know so, I'm going on my own terms. I'm not going on anyone else's terms.
No. And the door is always open here at the station for you. And
Yeah. Gosh, Scotty, it's so hard. I thought this would be a lot easier than this.
Nah, I understand, and it is tough for me too because you are my brother, more you know, as close as my real brother, and we've put a lot of hours into this, and I know you'll help out and still help everybody. And so, if you got questions, Joel's still gonna be around. So,
Absolutely.
So that's the great things about it. You know, you're not gonna be a stranger. You're gonna be still around, but you're still doing shows here. You're still a host. You know, that type of thing. So.
Yeah,
but man, we love you. We thank you for everything that you've done for us, And we look forward for you to come back sometime and rejoin us in the ranks, you know, and back into the trenches of Z-Talk Radio.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. But when when the big boys come calling, you're hard-pressed to turn them
off. Oh, you got to go, baby. You got to go. It's like getting called up to the majors, man. You're in the big league now, man. Go for it.
Yeah. And everybody...
You don't want to be down here with me with my voodoo doll and my chicken, you know, down here on the plate going,
well, I can let this part of it out. Todd Bates and I, we're going to the next level of radio. And, most definitely, I will never forget where I came from.
No. And we thank you for everything you've done for the station. And let's move on from there because.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's not dwell on this bad boy. We got a big show in front of us. Let us kick off the news.
You're listening to Z-Talk Live Radio News, and this is Tammy Henderson with your news updates.
Your name is Rudolph. You're a freak with a red nose, and nobody likes you. Then one day, Santa met you, and you saved Christmas. You hate Christmas. You're going to steal it. Saving Christmas was a lousy ending. Way too commercial. Action! Brilliant! You reject your own nose because it represents the glitter of commercialism. Why didn't I think of that? Cut, print, check the gate, moving on.
And good evening on this Monday night, December the 14th of 2009. And this is your Z-Talk Live Radio News. Updates bringing you the good news, the bad news, and the just plain weird news. Still looking for the perfect Christmas gift for your friend or family? Haven't quite got all of your shopping done? Well, here's an idea, a few ideas. Last-minute gadgets that won't break the bank. Budget-friendly gift ideas for techie friends and family members. For holiday shoppers, this is the home stretch with just two more weeks until Christmas. Some soon-to-be Santas still need to fill up their Christmas sacks. If you're hunting for a techie-friendly gift but worry about the hole they might burn in your pocket, look no further. Here are a few of our favorite gadget gifts that won't break the bank. First techie Christmas gift idea is the Kensington USB car charger for under $10. It's a compact charger for Blackberries and other USB-powered devices, and it's ultra-light. Also, you can get a version compatible with the power-hungry iPhone and iPod. And another great gift idea for this Christmas for those who just have everything and you don't know what to get them. Well, if you think you just could not come up with another idea for a light, well, there's the hug light. For the bookworm who likes to read or the jack of all trades who pokes around in poorly lit places, you'll need to try the hug light. Think of a scarf. You know how a scarf wraps around your neck? The flexible flashlight can be wrapped around your head or neck and twisted to the point around anything that needs illumination. It's made by ShowerTech, and it's called the Hug Light, and it's only $14.95. Not too bad for a Christmas gift, especially for those on a budget. Another great idea this Christmas season for that person that just has everything, or you need something to help them stuff their stockings, are dot gloves. Dot gloves are little gadgets that are just like mittens, but they have little rubber tips on the fingers, and they help you get traction on your cell phone or iPod Touch or just your regular iPhone. So you can do all your applications, and they're under $25. And just in time for the Christmas season, oh my goodness, it looks like there's been another sighting of Bigfoot, a Sasquatch-like figure. A trail cam snaps picture of Sasquatch. Where? Minnesota. Hunters have captured the image of a Bigfoot-like figure on a game trail. Casey Kodrowski said he's always considered himself a skeptical sort of person, but an image captured by a trail camera in the woods of northern Minnesota has left him scratching his head. Yes, among the photos of ordinary Minnesota wildlife was an image of a tall, hunched figure resembling Bigfoot or Sasquatch, the legendary half-man, half-ape creature. The boys or the brothers Kodrowski, a sophomore at St. Cloud State University, thought that his other brother was playing a joke on them. They just could not believe the pictures. At first, the brothers had their father, Tim, look at the pictures, and they thought maybe it was a fuzzy figure or a bow hunter, but they soon wondered why the figure wasn't carrying a flashlight or a bow and arrow. Well, all I can say is, I think it was the Grinch. You know, the Grinch comes out about this time of the year out of his cave, looking to ruin Christmas.
Enough of those hoots inviting me down there on such short notice. Even if I wanted to go, my schedule wouldn't allow it. 4 o'clock, wallow in self-pity. 4:30, stare into the abyss. 5 o'clock, solve world hunger. Tell no one. 5:30, jazzercise. 6:30, dinner with me. I can't cancel that again. 7 o'clock, wrestle with my self-loathing. I'm booked. Of course, if I bump the loathing to 9, I could still be done in time to lay in bed, stare at the ceiling, and slip slowly into madness. But what would I wear?
A new study finds we will live longer in 2050. Experts are saying the government has got it wrong on the life expectancy in the future. A group of prominent researchers predict Americans living in the next 40 years will be much older than the government currently predicts, by 5 to 10 years. Medicine has already begun to fight cancer based on an individual's genes, leading many to expect a boost in life expectancy. And colleagues are theorizing that advances made in animal research will translate to humans, such as an experiment that showed gene and hormone manipulation have prolonged life. Parents may want to keep an eye out on their children for a new popular game amongst children and teenagers and even some adults called the choking game. Many pediatricians are not aware of the telltale signs of this deadly activity known as the choking game. A mom who lost her son to the choking game says sometimes he would be in his room and he would come out kind of dazed and confused. She said, I would check his eyes for redness, but I never check the pupil size. You do not always see redness unless they do it for a long extended period of time. Mansfield had lost her son Nick after he strangled himself using an ACE bandage tied to his bed. Mansfield believes that her son had no intention of killing himself, but that a strip of Velcro had caused the bandage to remain around his neck even after it was released. Signs or symptoms that your child may be engaging in this deadly game. Discussion of the game or its aliases with others. Bloodshot eyes. Marks on the neck. Wearing high-necked shirts even in warm weather. Frequent severe headaches. Disorientation after spending time alone, increased and uncharacteristic irritability or hostility. Ropes, scarves, and belts tied to the bedroom furniture or doorknobs or anything that's found knotted on the floor. The unexplained presence of dog leashes, choke collars, bungee cords, etc. Also, petechiae, pinpoint bleeding spots under the skin or the face, especially the eyelids or the conjunctiva, the lining of the eyelids and the eyes. Mansfield states that she wishes doctors would be more educated about this game, the choking game. They need to be because it could save a child's life. Bad news continues to tally up for Tiger Woods. Tabloids are offering six-figure sums to women who claim to have had affairs with golfing great Tiger Woods. The UK tabloid News of the World on its website promises big bucks for tips, stories, pictures, and videos. The willingness of media outlets to pay up for celebrity dirt has caught the attention of Tiger Woods' alleged mistresses, some of whom are brokering six-figure deals in the U.S. and Britain, selling the steamy details of their reported romances to the highest bidder. Even friends and relatives of the women can get in on this cash deal. At least three of the more than one dozen women who have claimed to have had affairs with a golfer have reportedly sold their stories to the paying press. In recent weeks, a porn star and a pancake waitress have each reportedly sold their stories of secret sex romps with a golfer, supplying text messages and voicemail messages said to confirm their connection to Tiger Woods. Iran is to try three Americans who crossed the Iraqi border. Iran says three jailed Americans who crossed border from Iraq will go on trial. Monday, it said it would try three Americans jailed since crossing the border from Iraq in July, a step certain to aggravate the U.S. at a time when Tehran is locked in a standoff with the West over its nuclear program. Iran is to try three Americans who crossed the Iraqi border. Iran says three jailed Americans who crossed the border to Iraq will go on trial. Iran said Monday it would try three Americans jailed since crossing the border from Iraq in July, a step certain to aggravate the U.S. at a time when Tehran is locked in a standoff with the West over its nuclear program. In Washington, Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton said the Iranian move was totally unfounded and appealed anew to authorities in Iran to release them. "We consider this a totally unfounded charge," she told reporters. "There is no basis for it. The three young people who were detained by the Iranians have absolutely no connection with any kind of action against the Iranian state or government. In fact, they were hiking out and unfortunately, apparently, allegedly walked across an unmarked boundary. And that is the key, unmarked. We appeal to the Iranian leadership to release these three young people and free them as soon as possible." There are concerns in the U.S. that the Iran could use the three arrested July 31st as bargaining chips in talks over its nuclear program or in seeking the return of other Iranians that have been captured by the U.S. Michelle Dugar of TLC's 18 Kids and Counting gave birth to Josie Brooklyn. Michelle Dugar's 19th child was born in an emergency C-section because Dugar, the star of the reality TV show 18 Kids and Counting, suffered from a rare, potentially life-threatening condition that causes high blood pressure, according to her doctor. The condition is known as preeclampsia, which occurs in about 5 to 8% of pregnancies, and was discovered by Dugar's admission last week at the University of Arkansas for Medical Science to evaluate pain related to gallbladder disease. New baby Josie Brooklyn was born Thursday evening weighing 1 pound and 6 ounces and was in stable condition at the neonatal intensive care unit at the University of Arkansas for Medical Sciences. As of Friday, statement from TLC. TLC has also reported that Michelle is resting comfortably while Josie Brooklyn stays at the neonatal intensive care unit, and that the family is grateful for all the prayers and well wishes during the recovery. They say Michelle is recovering well from the surgery. I'm just amazed. 19 children and counting. Yeah, you can catch their show on TLC's 18 Kids and Counting. And this is Tammy Henderson with your Z-Talk Live radio news updates. Have a wonderful week ahead. Wishing you all of the joys of this holiday season. From our family to yours on Z-Talk Radio.
Well, thank you, Tammy, very, very much for that news update. And we also want to make sure that we wish her a very, very happy wedding anniversary. 14 years.
14 years. That's amazing. So
that is amazing.
Not as long as my wife and I. We're 19. So
are you really?
You got five ahead.
Well,
yeah, we're 19 years.
Well, you want to hear something?
We've been together 20
months. You want to hear something that's really going to blow your mind?
Okay.
My parents have been married for 42 years.
That's crazy.
I know.
But if I can live another 20 years, I will be, too.
I mean, that's just crazy. I can't wrap my mind around that. It's like, wow.
That's awesome.
42 years?
But I wanted to make sure that everybody in our chat room sticks around.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have some major news.
We do. We're not going to do we're not doing sports tonight. We're doing a major announcement.
Major announcement for Z-Talk Radio.
We have...
Positive. Not as sad as Joel Lee.
No, not as sad as mine. Not as sad as my news. Positive. Yeah. Very positive. Growth. Huge growth.
Yep. And we'll be talking about that at the last 20 minutes instead of sports tonight. And it's a shame because I had a lot to talk about in sports. No, not really. Philadelphia moved up in the wild card position. That's all that changed this week.
And Tiger Woods has more mistresses.
Yeah, I know. Can you believe that?
He just can't keep...
And he's taking off of golf now? Man, that's crazy. So
I know. Hey, we do have a couple minutes before we have to go to break. Let's do it now. Here's the thing. Tiger Woods, in my opinion, I really got to talk about this.
Right,
Tiger Woods is a piece of crap.
Yeah! I'm getting people on my side now.
Well, you know, he's cheating on his poor wife.
Kids. He's got two kids now.
He's got two kids cheating on his wife.
It's all about the image that he tried to create, and then yet he was making these millions of dollars. Like today, Accenture pulled out. He is no longer.
He should have, too.
Yeah. But you think about it. Think about how many millions of dollars he lost by getting rid of Accenture.
Yeah.
Or just the last, you know, that one person. And now Gillette's talking about pulling out. I mean, all these people are, like, leaving him because his brand. Once again, it's a brand. It's a Tiger Woods brand.
It absolutely is a brand.
He was a great golfer. He's always probably will be the best golfer. But when your personal life takes over and you get that greed and you think that because you're the great golfer, you can do anything you want no matter where else you are. And that's his piece of crap.
That's true. It's his downfall. His own arrogance caused his own downfall. But on that
and
note,
I noticed that a long time ago, and I told everybody, go, you're just jealous of him. I go, no.
Yep, exactly
he
right.
Stinks.
He does. He does stink, but we'll be right back after this. You're listening to Z-Talk Live right here on these fine radio networks. UPRN 105.5 FM, Z-Talk Radio Network, Planet Paranormal, and Free Time Radio.
Ho, 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 ho. I always love getting letters from little ones. Well, now here's one from little Johnny. It says, why are the toys you always leave me? Why do they always have a Made in China sticker on them? Well, Johnny, Andrew, the head elf, decided to do what all the big companies are doing now. Outsource. Or maybe your parents are just cheap.
Hi, this is Joel Sturgis, General Manager of Z-Talk Radio. You may know me better from talk radio shows such as Airstrike Radio, Haunted Voices Radio, and Z-Talk Live. I have a question for you. Have you ever listened to talk radio and said, hey, I can do a better job than those hosts? Or have you ever wanted to learn how to be an online broadcaster? Internet radio is quickly becoming the wave of the future for both amateurs and professional radio hosts alike. Now here's your chance to learn how to be a radio host. Todd Bates, owner of Haunted Voices Radio, and myself will teach you all that is necessary to pursue your radio dreams. Here is just a few things you'll learn at the world's first online broadcasting training course. The art of the interview. How to run your online broadcasting equipment. How to successfully book guests. And much, much more. So if you're interested in the world of online broadcasting, call 218-305-4676. That's right, 218-305-4676. Or email Joel at ztalkradio.com. And if you already have an online show, we offer interview coaching as well. Come start your online broadcasting career with us today.
The following message is from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Did you know millions of Americans with low income can get help buying food? Introducing SNAP. It helps you eat right when money's tight.
Wait, excuse me. Did you say SNAP?
Yes. SNAP is the new name for the federal food stamp program. Lots of people with low income qualify for SNAP, but don't know it. If you qualify, you'll get a card you can use to buy all sorts of food, including fruits and vegetables. It works like a bank card when you check out.
A card? Like the one you swipe and goes, beep?
Yes, that's right. SNAP offers help to all kinds of people.
So wait, can I be eligible if I have a job?
Yes, you can if your income's low.
But I have a car.
No problem. You may still qualify.
But I own my own house, so can I still qualify?
Yes, you might. To learn more about SNAP, call 1-800...
Oh, hold on. Let me get a pen.
Okay. Call 1-800-221-5689. That's 1-800-221-5689. SNAP. Putting healthy food within reach.
Hey, thanks.
You're welcome.
Did I kill my husband? As the only woman in Illinois to be hung for murder, local lore has tarred me as a bad, bad woman. But there's more to the story. Find out in The Hanging of Betsy Reed by Rick Kelsheimer. I was a healer. They called me a witch and said that I poisoned the old man. 20,000 people came to see me die. I did burn down the jail and didn't even stay buried for long. But did I kill him? Rick Kelsheimer tells my story as fairly as I have ever seen it. Read The Hanging of Betsy Reed. Available at Amazon.com.
the station that beats all the competition. And we'll prove it
as soon as we hear any competition.
You're listening to Z-Talk Radio Network.
And welcome back to Z-Talk Live, and we got a very special guest tonight. This guy right here, Nick Redfern, he hunts what everybody fears. Nick is a full-spectrum paranormal investigator, as we kind of talked in the break. He hunts everything from, you name it, Bigfoot, Jersey Devil, whatever you have in your closets, he'll hunt that too, as well as ghosts. Nick, welcome to Z-Talk Live.
Well, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on the show again.
Oh, definitely.
No problem. Yeah, I always love talking monsters and that type of
monsters.
Stuff. It's a little bit different for me because... but I want to get into like UFOs tonight too, because I'm kind of a skeptic in UFOs, if you can believe that, being a paranormal guy, you know.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that, you know. I'm happy to debate. I mean, there's a lot of things about the UFO subject which we do need to debate, and which, you know, do have sort of opposing views, and I don't say there's anything wrong with that. You know, at the end of the day, we need to just resolve these cases, and if we don't agree on them, you know, that's the way to get the answers, is by sort of battering it out and having a good argument. So.
I love that. I love a good argument.
Is it kind of a case that sometimes you have to agree to disagree?
That's true. I think, you know, the worst thing we can do in subjects like this is just be so belief-driven that, you know, it's like the blinkers are on and you don't sort of see the full picture because you so badly want it to be A, B, or C. And I think, to me at least, that's the wrong approach. We just need to follow the evidence. And, you know, some of my closest friends in the paranormal world, we vehemently disagree on certain cases or things. But it doesn't mean, you know, when we finish talking about them, we don't all get together and have a beer or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how it should be.
Mm-hmm. Right. Oh, absolutely, because it's all these different thoughts and theories that bring new things to the table. You know, if everyone thought the same thing, no new ground would ever be broken.
No, that's right. And, of course, the worst-case scenario would be if we all agreed on something and we were all wrong.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. That would be horrible. Yes, I think that too. Well, you know, it turns out we're all wrong. Get that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I recently, I want to jump into UFOs. Like Scotty said right away, I saw a real freaky movie the other day, and I kind of want to talk to you a little bit about it. Mm-hmm. It's called The Fourth Kind. Have you had the pleasure of seeing this film yet?
Yes, I have. Yeah.
Now, I got to say, aliens, I'll put this right out there, aliens scare me way more than any ghost ever could. Because ghosts aren't going to grab you and take you to Mars with them, all right? you know? They're not going to take you up to the mothership and get heinous with your anus, if you'll let me say that.
Well, that's true.
I will not. Don't say that, man.
So the case up there in Nome, Alaska, have you had any opportunity to maybe talk with the people that were involved?
Well, you know, I haven't. I mean, there's a lot of controversy about those cases, as you might know. But, you know, I mean, the film itself, I kind of viewed the film as, you know, an entertaining film, you know, and I think that's the way we should look at a lot of sci-fi when they touch the UFO subject. You know, a lot of people within the UFO subject kind of get a bit precious about the subject in the sense that they only want to see it portrayed a certain way in the realm of sci-fi. And my view is, well, you know, don't get too caught up in terms of, you know, not understanding the difference between fact and fiction when it comes to a film. You know, a film is a piece of entertainment, and, you know, I viewed The Fourth Kind. I thought it was an entertaining film. It was a good film. I enjoyed it. To what extent, you know, it may actually reflect the real world in terms of abductions and UFOs, well, to me, that's kind of irrelevant. You know, I didn't view it in that sense. I viewed it in, it was an entertaining piece of, you know, a UFO movie.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, what really sets the tone for that particular film was when you had the actors and actresses coming out, this film contains real file footage. Yeah. You know, I mean, that kind of sets you on your ear to where you kind of have to worry about blurring the line between what has been real in this film and what's been staged. Mm.
You find that in certain films. I think in that respect, it had kind of like, you know, a little bit the whole Blair Witch thing to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Where you kind of, the first time you see it, you're thinking, wow, you know, what are you looking at?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it was so different. I think the one thing that I think the film did get across very well was the idea that the whole, I guess, the abduction scenario is kind of a traumatic one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not all kind of love and light and the aliens are our buddies and everything's cool. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like a psychological shock.
Yeah, but why aren't...
In a big scale for the people involved.
Here's my question then, Nick. In the UFO realm, where has the fact, other than TVs and movies, this whole idea that aliens are bad? Because
exactly.
If it's another race of humans, you know, or something like that, you know, why couldn't they be good? Why couldn't they come here just as curious about us as we are them? You know, why is this bad happening all the time?
Well, you know, I think if you look at movies, at least, in terms of the world of fiction, it has to be presented in a bad way because, you know, if they're just our friends and everything's cool and nothing's going on.
You have the movie E.T.
That much. It's not really that much of an entertaining film. You know, people want to see aliens slicing up human beings and blowing up the planet, you know, because that's what movies do.
Mm.
Something that is kind of boring and, oh, they're our friends and they're here to help us and that's the end of the story. No one's going to want to see that. You know, they want to see aliens or Predator or that sort of thing. Now, in the real world, you know, we don't necessarily see aliens as being overtly hostile, but equally, there's been no attempt, you know, on their part, whatever these beings are, to come down and cure cancer, save the rainforests, save the polar ice caps, etc., etc. You know, they may not be overtly hostile, but they're hardly, you know, trying to help us out in any way, as far as I can see. And so my view is that whatever the UFO intelligence is, it's as self-centered and as self-serving as we are, and its reason for being here is something that benefits it, whereas we think, our ego thinks, oh, they're here to see us because we're the human race and we're so important. You know, I don't think it is that. I think it's something that is for their benefit, which involves us.
So maybe it's like the Prime Directive where they can't touch
us. Exactly, I was just thinking that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it could be that, but, you know, on the other hand, that kind of implies that we're so important that it's important to let us do our own thing. I actually think it's more along the lines of, you know, if you look at abductions and you hear people talking about the whole medical angle of it and things like that, you know, it does make me wonder if we are the equivalent of the lab rats and they really just don't care about us. And, you know, that may well explain why people see UFOs, because they simply don't care if they see us.
Well,
if we see them, because we're not actually of interest to them, so, you know, why should they hide their presence on a truly huge scale? You know, if they have any sense to them, they know that we know they're here.
I really got to get this question in there. You know, some people have actually spoke to me quite a bit as of late about UFOs and aliens, and that we are more or less the aliens' offspring, and they come down time to time to see how their science experiments going.
Hmm. Well, you know, it could be as simplistic as that. That's what some people think. You know, the theories do range from, you know, everything from genetic experimentation to one day some sort of takeover of the planet or extermination, or they're here to kind of subtly help us but without kind of putting us into some sort of overtly shock-based situation where, you know, we're just pummeled by so much advanced technology that our society crumbles, as inferior societies often do when they're faced with a far more advanced one.
Oh, sure.
There's all sorts of theories. I think the problem is we're still at the stage where we're trying to figure it out. We just don't know. And anyone who says they have got it figured out, you know, is deluding themselves. The day we have it figured out, everyone's going to know.
Well, I mean, this is a culture that obviously mastered, travel, intergalactic travel. Mm. All right, we're still stuck on the Earth for the most part. We've never really gone past the moon.
No human being has ever, you're right, gone past the moon. And as far as, you know, our probes that we've sent out into outer space, you know, only several of those have now actually, you know, reached the edge of the solar system and you know, gone outside of the solar system, and that's taken years. So if these things can get here, you know, point A to point B in a really short period of time, or even seconds via wormholes, as some people theorize, then, you know, their technology is way advanced from ours. But that's presuming, you know, that's what they're doing, that they're traveling from here to there, vice versa. You know, some people consider that maybe they've got some sort of staging post, you know, in our solar system, or even on the Earth. And I guess they're sort of like, you know, the equivalent of explorers who have made the decision to set up base somewhere and covertly watch us, rather than keep coming from point A to point B every other day or whatever.
Well, you have your Greys. You have your reptilians, which are supposed to be nasty from all accounts. And then I've heard people tell me that, really, the reptilians, they're coming from inside the Earth, not aliens.
Oh, yeah.
And
you get all these theories as well. You know, some people don't agree with the alien theory. I mean, you might have heard of Mac Tonis, who was a researcher, unfortunately died in October. But Mac just finished writing a book called The Crypto-Terrestrials, which is actually going to be released in a couple of months. And Mac's theory was that the so-called aliens are actually a very ancient terrestrial, Earth-based civilization that probably reached its peak thousands of or even longer ago. And now they're on an evolutionary decline, and that they masquerade as aliens to move amongst us. And they're in the final stages before extinction, you know, the last vestiges of their race. And he felt that that might explain the genetic experimentation that, you know, trying to improve their stock and survive extinction. And Mac actually felt that makes more sense, that a race that's kind of an ancient race hidden on the Earth that's kind of linked genetically with us would make much more sense than a totally alien race trying to fuse human DNA from across, you know, countless light years or whatever. Well, I think when his book's published, it'll make a lot of waves.
Well, I mean, you right. told us about other people's theories, which are awesome, but what's your theory, Nick?
Well, you know, my personal view is that as far as the UFO presence is concerned, there's no doubt that something's going on that doesn't involve the military, that doesn't involve misidentification. Now, whether, you know, some people theorize it's literally extraterrestrial, I sometimes wonder if it's alien in the sense that we literally don't understand it, but could it be something from the Earth? For example, I mean, there's a lot of stories about people being abducted and taken where it seems they're almost rendered into like an altered state of like hypnosis by whatever this intelligence is. And, you know, it's clear to me from having interviewed a lot of witnesses that certain thoughts and ideas and scenarios even may have been kind of instilled in their mind. So we're not even sure of the reality of some aspects of the phenomenon. Are they internally created by this phenomenon, or are they external? You know, some people think abductions, for example. You look at the abduction scenario, a lot of people have said that, you know, they felt their mind was taken out of the body, and you know, they viewed it all from in almost like an out-of-body experience. So, you know, are we looking at a physical experience or something that is manipulating the human mind? I think there's lots of questions to be asked, and there are very few answers. My best answer is that there's an unknown intelligence amongst us that interacts with us that seems to want to try and provoke, I guess, change within the human mind and open us up to the UFO experience. But, you know, whether it's from this star system, that star system, and what its prime motivation is, you know, I'd be lying if I said I knew. Unfortunately, people want answers.
Oh, sure.
In the UFO field, we have a lot of data. But unfortunately, it's like a lot of aspects of the paranormal. We have a lot of data, a lot of reports, but very few definitive answers. And that's the big problem.
Well, you know, law of averages says there's life out there. There has to be. You can't have that many. So, I mean, what's the sense of having space? If space was only built for Earth, why the heck have it?
Space,
exactly.
The final frontier.
Yes.
Exactly, yes.
You know,
yeah, I mean, you know, you even have to look at the planets in our solar system. I mean, it's not unfeasible that in times past, some of those may have supported life. You know, I think there's a very good argument.
I mean, they even found, they said they found water on the moon.
Yeah.
Yeah, water on the moon, water, a lot of evidence of, you know, at one point there was extensive running water on Mars. And of course, you know, if you've got an atmosphere and you've got water, for all you know it, you've got life. So it's entirely possible, I think, that life has come and gone on numerous planets. And
well,
I mean,
sure,
we have nine planets in our solar system. You think of all the other stars up there, how many planets they might have.
Mm-hmm.
If you've only got one inhabited planet in every 100 stars, you still have countless, literally countless life forms out there.
Very true. Very true. And that's the thing. We all have to keep an open mind because they might not come down and look like you and I. They might come down and look like hideous beasts or even better looking than us. You never know.
Yeah.
You never know what form life is going to take. I mean, it could
anyone's
going to
look
bacteria.
Better than you, Joel.
You probably, yeah, you're probably absolutely correct on that one. But we got to go ahead and we got to go ahead and take this first break. And Nick, man, this stuff just blows my mind. We got to get out of here. But when we come back, we're going to talk more about maybe a little bit more about aliens, or else get hit Jersey Devil, Bigfoot, the whole nine yards. We'll be right back after this. You're listening to Z-Talk Live right here on these fine radio networks. UPRN 105.5 FM, Z-Talk Radio Network, Planet Paranormal, and Free Time Radio.
Here's another letter from Little Susie. Santa, how can you make it around the world in one night? Well, Susie, I have 362 plus days to sit around. So I got another business. Well, you wouldn't believe what's in this pipe. That's all I'm going to say on that. Merry Christmas.
There's a storm brewing in this country. A storm of apathy towards some of our most historic landmarks, like Fort Mifflin in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. This is the fort that saved America. It held the British at bay while George Washington went upriver to Valley Forge. Now it's in danger of being shut down. There are people who are weathering this storm.
This is Barbara Saletti, co-founder of the Fort Mifflin Historic Preservation Group.
This is Anthony Saletti, co-founder of the Fort Mifflin Historic Preservation Group.
But they can't do it alone. They need our help. Go to www.myspace.com/SaveFortMifflin or www.fortmifflin.com. Together, we can make a difference. Let's save Fort Mifflin and turn the tide of apathy.
Hey, Betty. Wait, where are you going with your new TV?
I'm donating it.
Huh? But you just got it.
I know, but there are less fortunate people out there, you know. Today I found out that a lot of people are in need, so I'm taking it to the local Red Cross.
Huh? What the heck is the Red Cross going to do with your TV?
They sit on the news and desperate need of plasma. So I decided to do the right thing and give them my new television.
Oh, boy. Bet, they were talking about blood plasma.
Huh?
It's the liquid component of blood in your body.
Oh, you mean like giving a blood donation?
Right, same idea.
Are there other ways to help, too?
Of course. Money, goods, and services can all be used by the Red Cross, especially in times of crisis.
Goods? See? They can use my plasma TV after all.
I told you I knew what I was doing. Right. Hey, listeners, just visit www.redcross.org for info on how you, too, can help. This announcement's brought to you by the HVRN Corporation.
Hi, this is Joel Sturgis, General Manager of Z-Talk Radio. You may know me better from talk radio shows such as Airstrike Radio, Haunted Voices Radio, and Z-Talk Live. I have a question for you. Have you ever listened to talk radio and said, hey, I can do a better job than those hosts? Or have you ever wanted to learn how to be an online broadcaster? Internet radio is quickly becoming the wave of the future for both amateurs and professional radio hosts alike. Now here's your chance to learn how to be a radio host. Todd Bates, owner of Haunted Voices Radio, and myself will teach you all that is necessary to pursue your radio dreams. Here is just a few things you'll learn at the world's first online broadcasting training course. The art of the interview. How to run your online broadcasting equipment. How to successfully book guests. And much, much more. So if you're interested in the world of online broadcasting, call 218 208-305-4676. That's right, 208-305-4676. Or email Joel at ztalkradio.com. And if you already have an online show, we offer interview coaching as well. Come start your online broadcasting career with us today.
The competition has taken notice.
Oh my God.
Keeping up with us.
You're listening to ZTalk Radio Network.
And we are back with Nick Redfern.
Joel. You know, I've been remiss tonight. I didn't even get out the phone numbers yet.
Oh, not yet, man. You have not. So why don't you go ahead, big guy.
Phone number tonight to call in and ask our guest, Nick Redfern, some questions. 262-672-2488. The phone number again, 262-672-2488 or 262-ORBBITT, Orb Bit. I know Nick would like that one, to be on the show, so.
Orbit. But, Orbit. Yes, I was going to say, yes, Nick Redfern, the man that hunts what you fear. There you go. That's a catchphrase for you. Yes, the monster hunter. No, you know, I really admire you guys that get out there and you guys kind of like a firefighter that's running into a burning building where everyone else is running away, you're running in. You know, recently we had a Bigfoot site. I live in the state of Minnesota. And recently, we had a big Bigfoot sighting. You know, it's been all the hoopla. Now, have you heard anything about that case?
No, I mean, I think another one you're talking about that was like surfaced about a month ago or something.
It was a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, no, it wasn't one that I've investigated. But I mean, you know, I think the important thing is that, you know, if when you look at reports, what to me is important at least is we're getting sightings and encounters from, you know, many U.S. states. And I think it's actually, in one sense, it's a good thing because it kind of exposes more people to the subject. But equally, it demonstrates that whatever this creature is, or these creatures are, I should say, you know, they're not limited to one particular area. And this is one of the theories that's being put forward, why they're so difficult to track down, because they don't kind of live in colonies like, you know, for example, group scenarios like gorillas do, which are very social animals, that they may actually be nomadic, and that's why they kind of pop up here in one location, then they're gone, and then in another, you know, they're constantly on the move, and that might suddenly explain why, you know, one suddenly is seen in Minnesota, and just out of the blue, you know, it seems out of the blue, but if these things are on the move, I think this is like evidence of kind of a pattern developing.
No. What do you think they are exactly? Like a Bigfoot? Is it a primate? Is it more of a man? Or I mean, what is it? I mean, it's kind of truly the missing link, isn't it?
Well, in many respects, it is. But the problem is there's several aspects to Bigfoot reports. I mean, on the one hand, you have this creature which leaves tracks, which looks like a large, hairy, ape-like creature. But then on the other hand, you also have a number of reports which almost veer towards the paranormal, where, for example, people said they've seen it and it's literally kind of just faded in and out of our reality. Or they've been tracking footprints in the snow which have just come to a halt as if it's vanished. But even some reports, somebody's driving home late at night, several reports like this, where they've seen a large hairy creature cross the road in front of them, and as it's done so, their headlights and engine have failed. So, you know, when people ask me what Bigfoot is, it's difficult to say because although it doesn't make me sort of many, I wouldn't say it doesn't make me many friends, but I get a lot of disagreements in the Bigfoot and cryptozoology field because I think a substantial number of these creatures or beings, whatever you want to call them, do seem to have paranormal or supernatural aspects to them as well as flesh and blood ones, and it's trying to determine how that can be the case. I think there's more to Bigfoot than just a race of hidden apes. They're almost too eerily elusive. You know, we never catch them ever. Never gets hit by a car or anything like that.
That's true. Have you ever seen, did you see the picture of the one in the Minnesota that we were talking about?
Yes, I did. Yeah, the camera thing in the woods.
Right, with the deer cam in the woods. Yeah.
Yeah, now, deer cam. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, we use them for ghost cams,
you know,
too.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, I've looked at the picture.
Okay.
I mean, I've read the different comments. You know, some people have said, oh, it's an ape, obviously. Others have said it's like a guy in kind of like, these ghillie suits, like a hunting suit or something. Or, you know, could it just be somebody in like a dark, long raincoat and pants or whatever. It's difficult to sort of say. The one thing I would say that is kind of against the idea that it's a Bigfoot, although there are some things in its favor, is that if you look at the legs, you don't see much muscle. It looks almost like a pair of trousers. You know, if you look at those legs properly and, you know, with that kind of view in mind, you don't sort of see...
Yeah, it looks like a guy to me. It really does. Yeah. I mean, he's not overly tall. I pulled up the picture. Mm. I also put a link to the picture in our chat room over there at ztalkradio.com. And I'm looking at it as we speak, and it doesn't look like an overly big creature.
Well, you know, I mean, some reports, it's interesting, depending on where you are in the U.S., for example... In the Pacific Northwest woods, Seattle, Oregon, around there, Washington State, you know, you get reports of these huge 7-8 foot tall lumbering apes. If you go over to Florida, you get the reports of the skunk ape, which is like a 5-6 foot tall, kind of slimmer, athletic type creature, almost like a large, very large chimpanzee. So, you know, it's entirely possible that we could be dealing with different creatures, or, you know, you look at people. You find somebody who's 6'5" and weighs 250 pounds, and somebody who's 5'6" and weighs 140 pounds.
Well, they look totally
different.
Well, much like the people that are from the Orient tend to be smaller than the Western people.
Yeah. Exactly. And it could be the case we're dealing with several different types of creature. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind the creatures exist. So we could be dealing with different strains of animal in the same way, you know, we've got gorillas, orangutans, chimpanzees, et cetera, et cetera.
So I'm thinking now, how does a Bigfoot mate?
Very carefully.
Yeah, that might not be a pretty sight.
Has anybody ever claimed to see two Bigfoots mate?
Now that would be the ultimate footage.
Yeah, that would be like the ultimate film footage. You could probably sell that all across the world.
Oh, chicken bow bow.
But to the best of my knowledge, no one's ever seen Bigfoot mating. maybe that's a subject for next book. I don't know, but
that would be great.
I'd imagine they do it like every other animal, pretty much. I'm not sure which position, but
were they called Bigfoot style? I don't know.
They kind of
Bigfoot style.
Yeah, they kind of do it similar, I suppose.
Poor Nick.
I love those commercials here in the States. They have those commercials about messing with Bigfoot.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Those are funny. Those are really funny.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about, you know, there's nothing wrong with having a bit of humor in the subject as well. I think that's something we need to remember, that it's, you know, it is a bizarre subject and there's nothing wrong occasionally with lightening the mood. But, you know, as I was saying, I think although there's no doubt that Bigfoots are real creatures in some respects, it's difficult to reconcile what they are when you have to take into account a lot of these paranormal type aspects to the stories as well. For example, a lot of research has been done into the whole issue of what's called infrasound. Infrasound being, you know, how you can disable or adversely affect the human nervous system via sound waves and acoustic weapons that the military is developing. There's actually a lot of examples in Bigfoot reports where people have seen Bigfoot, stumbled across it, and they've had this experience of, this, I guess, being affected by acoustics, almost as if the creature has a sixth sense or an ability to disable its prey or, you know, those who are after it and get out of the area quickly by disorientating them. So, you know, there's a lot of weird aspects that take it away from just being, you know, the hidden equivalent of a missing gorilla or something like that.
Ooh, good question coming in from the chat room. Trisha wants to know, has anyone ever seen a baby Bigfoot?
You know, that actually is a very good question. There are a few reports. Most of the reports that you get are of solitary creatures. Now, occasionally you'll get reports of two or three, and very occasionally you will see reports of people having claiming to have seen Bigfoot and juveniles with them. There are one or two reports with babies, but for the most part, it seems more juveniles, you know, children. There's a famous one from the 1920s, a man named Albert Ostman, who claims to have literally seen like a, you know, two parents and two juveniles. But again, you know, they were, I guess, I know, 8, 9, 10 years old, teenagers, something like that.
I would be the
first to admit that those sort of cases are the rarities. If Bigfoot's a real creature, which I think it is, most of the reports would seem to suggest they're like nomadic, solitary creatures that come together, you know, on occasion, but seem to keep themselves to themselves.
So basically what you're saying is they get together once in a while for love, and then they take off.
Yeah.
You know, much like that.
But, you know,
really?
some animals do that. Some animals do that, you know.
It's, yeah.
You know, it's... guys do that all over the world.
Yes, and well, especially the related Tiger Woods.
So, no, here, Nick, I had a question about this. Since you investigate the whole paranormal,
I actually don't.
You don't do ghosts?
I don't. Not because I'm not interested. What I've found is that, you know, it's UFOs and cryptozoology, the hunt for unknown animals. Those are my two big areas of interest, and some aspects of conspiracy theories as well. But, you know, I've found because when you're writing about these things and researching them as well, there's only, I guess, so many hours in the day where you can do that and have a normal social life as well. And so, you know, I enjoy doing the cryptozoology and the monster hunting because, although, you know, on the one hand, I think we have a good chance of actually catching some of these things one day. And, you know, I also enjoy the adventurous aspect of hitting the road.
Oh, yeah.
And trekking through the woods and looking for these things. You know, it's interesting and it's enjoyable and it's fun. And UFOs, I enjoy, you know, the detective story, peeling away the layers of the onion to get to the heart of the mystery. But I haven't really delved into things like ghost hunting that, to any great extent, purely because I don't consider myself well versed enough, and there are a lot of people who obviously are massively more informed on the subject than me. So I'd prefer somebody who's well versed in it and understands it to do it, and then, you know, I can look at their results rather than me go bumbling in and, you know, sort of half knowing what I'm doing or whatever in that particular field.
Well, do you have any kids, Nick?
No, it's just me and my wife.
I was going to say, career day must be really odd when they have you come in. Hey, kids, we have Mr. Redford in.
No, there's just the two of us.
And he's going to tell us all about hunting Bigfoot. Well, kids, Bigfoot will straight up kill you. No.
I mean, we talked about it a little bit here. My other question was kind of leading into it. I mean, with it, I understand that we all try to take this, but I think a lot of us in the paranormal take this feel way too serious, and people don't want to have fun with it. I mean, once again, I mean, we're a bunch of people going, you know, looking for stuff that is not supposed to exist.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I totally agree. I mean, I think, you know, for the most part, I think if, for example, if I'm on a Bigfoot expedition, then you do take it seriously. You know, we make sure we have all the right equipment.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right.
You know, night scopes, cameras, recording equipment, call blasters, where, for example, you know, if you're looking for Bigfoot, you can take call blasters where you can play, you know, the noises and the sounds made by gorillas or whatever, which some people theorize might attract a Bigfoot if they're, you know, if they're primates, like, you know, if they're apes as well. Yeah. So we do all that, but, you know, there's nothing wrong when you're sort of hanging out afterwards or whatever and just chilling out and having a good time and, you know, just looking at the lighter side of it as well. You know, we shouldn't be too, I guess, overly serious to where we almost like alienate people from wanting to deal with us. It's, oh, you know, those overly serious Bigfoot hunters or whatever. No, there's nothing wrong with looking at the subject from both perspectives, because there are some weird, surreal aspects to it that, you know, that are strange. So
definitely.
I agree. I mean, because a lot of times, a lot of times I think, you know, we don't take our, I mean, I don't take myself serious, and I know Joel doesn't, but we take the work we do in the ghost hunting, we do serious, yeah. You know, and that's the completely different. That's the right answer. And I know that's what you said, but that is totally it. I mean, there's a lot of people that you meet that will come up to you and go, you know, they're always like, you know, in this serious mode. And I'm like, oh, guys, calm down. I mean, isn't this supposed to be fun too?
Yeah.
Isn't this why we do this?
Exactly.
Yeah, I think the important thing is, for me, you know, that I do a lot of investigations, whether it's Bigfoot, you know, the Chupacabras flying off to Puerto Rico or whatever, lake monsters, UFOs.
Right.
But at the end of the day, you know, I come home and me and my wife sit down and we watch American Idol, or we go down to, you know, the pub on the Friday night and have a few beers. And I think that's important, is that there's a place for doing serious deep research. And then there's a place for kicking back and have a normal life away from the subject as well, which, you know, where you sit around talking like I do, music, soccer, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's important to be able to have a life away from the subject, or even if it's in it as well, but where you're not sort of full-on driven 24/7, do you know what I mean?
Yep, absolutely, but we got to get jetting them. But by the way, gentlemen, did you know that Tiger Woods changed his name? Do you know what, too? Cheetah. We'll be right back with more with Nick Redfern right after this.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lori London. Vague in what they're saying, but clear on what they'll achieve.
Before we leave here, in the next couple of weeks or less, we are going to pass national health care insurance reform for all Americans.
Senator Chris John, but divided Democrats say they've struck a deal to scrap the public option and a Medicare buy-in plan to win independent Senator Joe Lieberman's vote.
This is really a teeter-totter approach to legislation. They desperately need Lieberman and other moderates to vote for the bill. But by the same token, if they skew the bill too much in the favor of the moderates, then they start to lose liberals.
Fox's Chad Pergram, senators say they'll have a bill ready for final vote next week. President Obama pressuring what he calls fat cat bankers.
America's banks received extraordinary assistance from American taxpayers.
Telling bank chiefs today to do more to help the little guy.
I'm getting too many letters from small businesses who explain that they are creditworthy, and banks that they've had a long-term relationship with are still having problems giving them loans.
Urging banks to make money more readily available. Race against time in the search for two missing climbers on Oregon's Mount Hood.
We're optimistic that they can get into the search area that we want them to get into, but the avalanche danger is so extreme.
Sheriff's search coordinator Nate Thompson, another big storm moves in tonight. A third climber was found dead on Saturday. Recovered 22 million missing Bush-era email messages.
The key for the American people is that millions of emails that, in fact, belong to us went missing. And these are an important part of our nation's history.
Melanie Sloan, executive director of Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, one of two groups who sued over the emails. Former Bush spokesman calling this an anti-Bush agenda. The Dow ending up at 30 points. 10,501, the highest close since October 1st, 2008. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Baltimore Orioles shortstop Cal Ripken Jr., the Iron Man, broke the record for most consecutive games played, 2,131. The record had been held for 56 years before that by Lou Gehrig.
Well, you know, I see myself as someone that was very lucky and had a good career, and I think that I'm pretty good. I mean, I don't put myself all the way down and not think that I've had a pretty significant career. I've enjoyed being in the presence of all the great players, and this collection of players. I sat and talked to Henry Aaron a long time and really enjoyed talking to Kirk Gibson and Pete Rose. I just enjoy being in the environment. Maybe when I get older and you start to look back, you have a historical view of your career. But right now, I just see myself as a guy that was lucky enough to play baseball for a long time.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
A new audio tape from Al-Qaeda's number two lashes out at President Obama and U.S. allies.
هل نسينا من هي أمريكا؟ أمريكا
Ayman al-Zawahiri's new message accused President Obama of deceiving the Arab world and failing to restart Middle East peace talks. He said the president has done nothing for the region, despite his attempts at reaching out to the Muslim world. He dismissed the regional leaders of Egypt, Jordan, and Saudi Arabia, saying they supported peace with Israel and called for continued jihad to liberate Palestinian land. He also praised Muslim fighters in Pakistan and encouraged jihad in multiple locations, saying there are ample opportunities. Courtney Keeley, Fox News Radio.
In the case of a missing Utah mom, police talking to her husband for a second time.
We do have questions, and I'm just going to leave it at that.
West Valley Police Captain Tom McLaughlin. Susan Powell vanished from her home about a week ago, leaving behind her cell phone and purse.
There was no forced entry at the house. The only forced entry was made by the officers when they initially went out and entered the house.
Powell's husband says he was on a camping trip with his two boys when his wife disappeared. The financial crisis not impacting folks who hit the books.
The Department of Education says one in five people who take out federal student loans to attend for-profit colleges default within 3 years of starting to pay it back. Schools with a default rates of more than 25% for two straight years can be disqualified from the federal loan program, and some have. But in 2012, sanctions for for-profit colleges will be eased to a 30% default rate, even though new data suggests many schools already exceed those numbers. Jeff Manasso, Fox News Radio.
Dire prediction from Al Gore at the UN climate conference in Copenhagen. He says new data suggests the Arctic Ocean could be nearly ice-free during summers in less than 5 years. Previous projections had the Arctic ice cap would vanish by 2030. I'm Lori London, Fox News Radio.
Hi, this is Joel Sturgis, General Manager of Z-Talk Radio. You may know me better from talk radio shows such as Airstrike Radio, Haunted Voices Radio, and Z-Talk Live. I have a question for you. Have you ever listened to talk radio and said, hey, I can do a better job than those hosts? Or have you ever wanted to learn how to be an online broadcaster? Internet radio is quickly becoming the wave of the future for both amateurs and professional radio hosts alike. Now here's your chance to learn how to be a radio host. Todd Bates, owner of Haunted Voices Radio, and myself will teach you all that is necessary to pursue your radio dreams. Here is just a few things you'll learn at the world's first online broadcasting training course. The art of the interview. How to run your online broadcasting equipment. How to successfully book guests. And much, much more. So if you're interested in the world of online broadcasting, call 218-305-4676. That's right, 218-305-4676. Or email Joel at ztalkradio.com. And if you already have an online show, we offer interview coaching as well. Come start your online broadcasting career with us today.
Welcome back to Z Talk Live. Actually, we went somewhere you didn't, so we're back, actually. And we're here with Nick Redfern, Monster Hunter extraordinaire. Has lots of great thoughts and theories on the different things. And definitely, there was a little bit of a debate on whether Bigfoot, UFOs, and things such as this fall under the umbrella of paranormal. In my opinion, they do. Wouldn't you agree, Nick?
Oh, sorry, you're waiting for an answer. I thought you were just making a statement.
It was a statement that was kind of turned into a question.
I think my view on cryptozoology is that there are some creatures that are purely flesh and blood. A good example is the Orang Pendek. The Orang Pendek is this small human ape-like creature that's been seen on the island of Sumatra. And this is, I guess, described as like a 3 to 4 foot tall ape-like creature, but with a very human-like face, and that, unlike all other apes, walks upright. And there's evidence that maybe it's, as I won't say an advanced intelligence, but certainly a more human-like intelligence, perhaps makes tools, uses tools. I personally think that the existence of the Orang Pendek is going to be proved, I think, within the next 10 years. And it is going to be shown to be like a primitive human being of some sort, but with ape-like qualities. I personally do think that that is a physical animal. The Loch Ness Monster, I don't personally go with the dinosaur, surviving dinosaur theory. I think there's more evidence that these are very, very large, mutated, genetically mutated eels, very, very large eels, 30 to 40 feet, which, mm-hmm. you know, if you come across one of those swimming towards you, you're not going to argue that
yeah.
that's not a monster.
Still a monster to me.
It is. Yeah. Absolutely.
But other ones, like, for example, the Mothman. I don't for 1 minute think Mothman is a giant flying winged animal. I think that's more of like a paranormal, almost like a wraith-type creature, you know, like a shadowy, mm-hmm. ominous figure, like cloaked or bat-winged, these glowing eyes. So, you know, I think that kind of straddles the field of cryptozoology because it's perceived as being like a large bat-like creature. But there are so many weird things surrounding Mothman that I think it has to fall more into the realm of, you know, the paranormal or the supernatural. So we often find this in cryptozoology. You know, you end up investigating something that you think is a flesh and blood animal, and I guess it goes sometimes more almost like down the path of people like yourselves who do ghost hunting. You know, you're dealing with something that's sort of way out of your normal area of research.
Well, you know, I kind of got a twofold question here. Number one, what is the oddest thing that you've ever seen your own two eyes doing this work? And number two, have you ever found yourself scared?
I wouldn't say I've ever found myself scared. I'm not sort of that type of character. For me, it's more like an adrenaline rush when you're out there doing things. What I have found sometimes is not, I wouldn't say it's scared, but it's almost like an unsettling feeling that you've gone from being like the hunter to the hunted, and these things are actually not dumb animals, but they're actually one step ahead of us, and it's almost like they're the ones manipulating the the scenario in terms of you're looking for them in the woods late at night when really they've got their eyes on you and they're one step ahead of you all the time. And you find that with a lot of people, particularly who look for Bigfoot, that they have this feeling that they're almost being played with, you know, something else is pulling the strings, and we think we're the, you know, the highly advanced person with all the technology, and these creatures have got the upper hand. And, you know, it's almost like an intense version of that feeling that everybody has at times when you think someone's watching and you turn around and they are, you know, their eyes are boring into the back of your head or whatever.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a really extreme, unsettling version of that. That's probably the closest you come to. But for me, it's mainly an adrenaline rush. But what was the other part of the question?
Well,
the strangest thing. One of the strangest things is something that a lot of people don't know about Bigfoot reports is that in a lot of areas where people report Bigfoot, we also get a lot of sightings of what have become, it's a strange term, but they've become known as Bigfoot teepees. And what they are, it's where very, very large branches, sometimes, you know, several inches thick, have been literally wrenched, not sawn, but wrenched off trees and placed into like pyramid or triangular formations anywhere from about 3 feet high to perhaps 8 or 9. And I found a lot of these in areas which are Bigfoot hotspots. And, you know, this theorizing that these creatures build them almost as like territorial markers, either to attract or detract, you know, others of their type from coming clear, but coming near. But if you look into the Bigfoot subject or, you know, type in on a search engine, Bigfoot teepee, you'll find a lot of photographs of these, you know, tree structures, if you like. And there's so many of them now that I think there's a definite connection. But they're kind of weird, you know, just to find them in the middle of the woods, mm-hmm. Where some, you know, sometimes 10, 15 miles from, you know, the nearest roads, and you just find this huge, intricate teepee-like formation just put together out of wrenched-off branches and things like that.
Now, have you ever been in a position where you actually smelled the Bigfoot? Because there's reports of a very pungent smell that comes with these creatures.
Well, you know, I have smelled very, very strong smells in the woods. But, you know, sometimes, well, on a couple of times, you know, it's been proven to be just, you know, a dead animal in the woods. So I think it's difficult to say, particularly at night. You know, you get this really strong pungent smell suddenly drift in. And, you know, for all you know, there could be like a, you know, a dead deer 15 feet away.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it is true that a lot of people do associate Bigfoot, you know, with a really sort of bad, rancid smell. And some people do think it could, or theorize it could be, you know, like a skunk. It's almost like to deter people and other creatures away. rather than just the fact that it's, you know, a smelly animal or whatever. So.
Oh, sure. I mean, that makes sense. That way it doesn't have to exert itself biting off an animal, you know, but so badly smelling, they're just going to steer clear.
You know, it's interesting when you said about that, like fighting something off. There actually aren't many reports of hostile Bigfoot. And, of course, that's actually reflected in, for example, gorillas. I mean, gorillas look very imposing. And if they wanted to, you know, they could tear you apart. Mm-hmm. But that's the whole point. They look so imposing, no one would ever take on a gorilla, you know, no sane person. And gorillas, if you meet them in the wild, the, you know, the male gorillas, they will bluff and puff and, you know, roar and you smack their chests, etc., and they'll charge you. But they do like what they call a bluff charge, where at the last minute they'll turn away. They actually aren't violent creatures. Gorillas are very sort of docile, friendly. You know, that they live in small groups, and you know they each have their ranking in the groups, and they're very group friendly, social creatures. You know, people mix with them; they can actually interact with them, and you know, I think that's one of the things in favor that the idea that Bigfoot is a flesh and blood animal rather than paranormal one. The idea that it's we don't get much evidence of it being violent, and that is actually reflected in a lot of apes. Certainly chimpanzees can get very violent, but a lot of other ones are just very social, you know, just, I wouldn't say friendly, but they're not overtly violent. So that's sort of in Bigfoot's favor that it is a flesh and blood ape, I suppose.
No, is there any truth to the rumor that in many states in the United States and many countries, it's actually illegal to shoot a Bigfoot?
Well, you know, this is kind of like a gray area almost. You know, if you shot and killed a Bigfoot, there are several things to keep in mind. Number one is the theory. Some people actually think that Bigfoot is a type of primitive human, that it's not an ape. Now, if it's a type of primitive human and you shoot and kill one, technically, you know, you could be charged with murder. Mm-hmm. If a DNA analysis was done of that creature and enough of the DNA pushed it into the, you know, the human realm and away from the ape realm, there are things like that to consider. Now, you know, over the years, there have been pushes to have Bigfoot, I guess, classed as an animal that's perhaps facing extinction or a rare species. But the problem is, without actually having one of these creatures, then that makes passing legislation difficult. But on the other hand, you know, if you did shoot and kill one, I'm pretty sure that there would be people out there that would want the person to be prosecuted. But then again, if you haven't got strict, rigid laws to protect it, which really we don't, you know, there are people who try to pass laws and things like that, but it's, you know, it's not something that's sort of cast in stone.
Well, you'd be famous.
Well, you would be famous.
You sure would.
You know,
I mean, my personal view is that I would hate to have to be able to prove the existence of Bigfoot by killing it. You know, it's kind of like, you know, it's, to me, that's typical what humans do. It's, oh, there's a strange thing out there, let's kill it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Right. Absolutely. And
just like Frankenstein.
My personal hope would be to kind of tag one of these creatures, get a lot of film footage, have it examined, take some skin cells, DNA, etc., etc., film it, get that many photographs, hair samples, to where and enough scientists to see it and be able to handle it, and then let it go where it was found. Mm. And we would be able to, you know, with today's technology, we could take enough skin cells, DNA, hair, and accurately determine what species and genus this belongs to. Mm-hmm. That would be much better than blowing its head off just so somebody can, you know, have its head stuck on a wall. And
Well, exactly. And the thing of it is there's been lots of hoaxes of people out there killing Bigfoots. I mean, as recently as, a couple guys down in North Carolina or South Carolina or wherever it happened to have been, and they tried to fake it, which ended up blowing up in their face. And how would they, you know, the thing of it is like when you fake what they, you know, when what they tried to fake, and the scientists come in, they say, well, you know, it's possum hair and this and that, you know you're going to get caught.
Yeah.
You know, so why even attempt it?
Yeah.
That
was the weird thing about that hoax, is that, you know, why do something like that when inevitably it seems like it's going to fall apart? That's the thing I never understood. I think, for me at least, the biggest problem with hoaxing, I mean, you know, hoaxing is sort of the bane of paranormal research, but I think the biggest problem is that when someone is proven to be a hoaxer, what it actually does, it sort of detracts genuine witnesses coming forward with their stories, because they fear that they're going to be classed as hoaxers as well, just jumping on the bandwagon. And I think, you know, whether it's ghost hunting, UFOs, Bigfoot, Loch Ness Monster, if somebody is proven to be a hoaxer, and the media, you know, outs them and it all comes tumbling out, somebody else who has a real genuine sighting is going to think twice, because it's like, wow, you know, are they just going to say I'm a hoaxer as well? And most people then may stay quiet. So I think that's the worst thing about hoaxing, is that it deters other people from coming forward, you know, which is obviously a bad thing.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Very true, because you're never going to get to the bottom of it if everyone's afraid to come forward.
Yeah, because of the ridicule factor from the hoaxing. So, you know, I would hope we get the answer. As I said, I would hate it if we had to hunt one and kill it. If one's found dead in the woods, or
I would too.
Yeah,
you know, that's horrible. It's bad to kill any type of animal, unless you're absolutely hunting, like deer hunting or what have you. But killing a Bigfoot just for fun, not so cool in my opinion. But we'll be right back with Nick Redfern after this. You're listening to Z-Talk Live right here on these fine radio networks. UPRN 105.5 FM, Z-Talk Radio Network, Planet Paranormal, and Free Time Radio.
Ho, 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 ho. Merry Christmas, ho, ho. Ooh, ooh, what's in this eggnog? Sure makes that music sound sweet.
Ready for some rollicking adventure? In Scotty Roberts' book, The Rollicking Adventures of Tam O'Hare, join Irish Rabbit, Tam O'Hare, and his young squirrel squire, Horatio McNutt, as they journey through Scotland of the mid-1500s seeking a small child who's been stolen by the fairy folk. Crafty raccoon pirates, conniving noble wolves, conflicted royal foxes and self-serving religious badgers all stand in the way as their quest brings them headlong into high seas action and supernatural intrigue. The Rollicking Adventures of Tam O'Hare is in bookstores everywhere and at barnesandnoble.com. This hardcover, lushly illustrated chapter book is the first book in the Tam O'Hare series. But hang on to your sabers. Book 2, Tam O'Hare and the Banshee of Ballyglenmorrow, is coming later this year. So swash your buckle and prepare yourself for a historically rollicking, swaggeringly supernatural adventure. Visit tamohare.com to learn more. You'll never trust a raccoon with a sword again.
I'm Peyton Manning. Did you know that the Red Cross responds to more than 67,000 house and apartment fires every year? They show us how to prepare for emergencies from hurricanes to heart attacks. They respond immediately when lives are disrupted by natural disasters. They teach us to swim and to save lives. Red Cross volunteers and employees are committed to making our communities safer and healthier.
Call 1-800-HELP-NOW or visit redcross.org to learn more.
Hi, this is Joel Sturgis, General Manager of Z-Talk Radio. You may know me better from talk radio shows such as Airstrike Radio, Haunted Voices Radio, and Z-Talk Live. I have a question for you. Have you ever listened to talk radio and said, hey, I can do a better job than those hosts? Or have you ever wanted to learn how to be an online broadcaster? Internet radio is quickly becoming the wave of the future for both amateurs and professional radio hosts alike. Now here's your chance to learn how to be a radio host. Todd Bates, owner of Haunted Voices Radio, and myself will teach you all that is necessary to pursue your radio dreams. Here is just a few things you'll learn at the world's first online broadcasting training course. The art of the interview. How to run your online broadcasting equipment. How to successfully book guests. And much, much more. So if you're interested in the world of online broadcasting, call 218-305-4676. That's right, 218-305-4676. Or email Joel at ztalkradio.com. And if you already have an online show, we offer interview coaching as well. Come start your online broadcasting career with us today.
Yeah,
We're scanning up a good time on your favorite radio station.
You're listening to ZZ Talk Radio Network.
And we are back with Monster Hunter Extraordinaire, Nick Redfern, right here on Z-Talk Live. We're having a great time talking about all things monsterish, if that's even a word, monsterish, but it is tonight.
It is now.
It is now. Nick, I got to ask you, people have been pestering me a little bit during the show about the Jersey Devil. What is your take on the Devil, the Jersey one, that is?
Yeah, he's an ice skating rink guy.
Well, you know, I mean, to me, the Jersey Devil's interesting because, you know, if you look at the reports of it, sort of this weird-looking winged creature, I think it's difficult to kind of put the Jersey Devil in one category of it just being the Jersey Devil and separate to a lot of other mysteries. If you look at the story of the Jersey Devil, the creature itself is actually not dissimilar to a lot of the reports I picked up on Puerto Rico of the Chupacabras, which is like this winged creature with almost like a monkey-like body, very fast-moving, and, the, you know, sort of glowing eyes and hides in the trees and the woods, etc. And, you know, you get a lot of reports similar in other parts of the world. There's one in England, very similar to the Jersey Devil, called the Owl Man, which, again, is like this winged creature that lives in the woods. And I think the Jersey Devil is the Jersey's equivalent, you know, Jersey's equivalent of whatever this entity or creature is. Again, you know, there are some people who view it purely from a physical perspective, others who take, you know, like a paranormal or a supernatural angle or something that sort of straddles the two. And that would be sort of my view. I think, you know, the Jersey Devil, or whatever they are or it is, you know, it does seem to have a few paranormal qualities to it, but it seems equally like a flesh and blood type entity, but with very similar characteristics to a lot of other creatures that, not just in modern day cryptozoology, but you know, you can find in folklore going back, you know, thousands of years.
Yeah, see, that was my question with it is with the isn't because they're so similar all around. Mm. Isn't it the fact that it might be just folklore that these people are just building off of a story that they heard somewhere else?
Well, you know, I don't doubt that sometimes, you know, somebody's in the woods in an area that has a monster legend to it, and they hear rustling in the trees and whatever, and that makes people think, oh, it's got to be the Jersey Devil or Bigfoot, mm-hmm. because people have reported Bigfoot here. But, you know, I think when you have very credible witnesses who've seen something close up and personal, you know, 15 feet from them, and they're not looking for publicity, they don't want their name published, et cetera, et cetera, it's very difficult to understand what would prompt someone to make up something like that for no reason, you know, for no publicity or anything at all. And so, I'm personally convinced that these things are real in some fashion. As I said, whether they're paranormal or physical flesh and blood is a different matter. But I don't think personally it's a case, for the most part, of people just picking up on legends and hallucinate. You know, if you're going to hallucinate, why hallucinate the Jersey Devil? Why not hallucinate a flying car?
Yeah,
know,
or, exactly.
Or a flying, you know, why does it always have to be a creature? That's what makes me think that they are real entities, if you like.
Now, at the top of the show, we were talking before we went on air, you had said that you were in Wisconsin. Now, are you able to release any of those details of that particular case?
There's been a lot of Mothman type reports, you know, flying winged creatures around the U.S., you know, over the years. People think of, you talk about large man-like creatures with bat-like wings. Everybody thinks of the famous Mothman of Point Pleasant, West Virginia. But you actually get a lot of reports around the world. And there's been a spate of reports in Wisconsin over the last couple of years, again, of large creatures, you know, the size of an extremely large bird or even bigger, but almost with bat-like qualities. And that was one of the ones that I investigated up there, was, you know, this one particular case that was actually, interestingly enough, it ties in with Native American Indian law in the area of a large bird-like creature that was supposedly, you know, several hundred years ago to inhabit one of the large hills in that particular area. So, you know, it has a sort of a precedence with the ancient folklore, but there are a number of stories of people seeing this sort of black, I guess, back-winged creature, not so much flying, but almost like gliding, almost like a hang glider. It's that big.
Is it possible
at night? And
is it possible it's a thunderbird? You know, the myth, the Native American myth.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's what some people do think. You know, the again, the Native American lore of the thunderbird, this huge, I guess, almost magical bird-like creature, or literal huge bird. You know, some people, certainly the thunderbirds, are sort of defined more than any other crypto creature by the fact that they were allegedly very, very colorful in terms of their feathers. However, these, you know, these large winged creatures we're talking about now, they seem more blacker, darker, rather than, you know, very brightly colored. So I think we could be looking at two different things. But, you know, a lot of cultures around the U.S. over the centuries have these flying monster legends, and that's what I was doing up in Wisconsin, and, you know, looking into some of these bat-winged creatures that have been seen, you know, literally sort of gliding the highway, as some witnesses have described.
Really? Was there
so where was it? Where was it in Wisconsin?
This was up at a place, the nearest little town was called Winona, or Winona, however you pronounce it. And so people find that on a map. It's sort of that area, the hills and mountains around there, and the woods.
Yeah, see, I'm in Madison, and we don't have any of those down here.
Okay.
Well, gosh darn it, you should.
Well, we have, never mind. Well, that's for another show.
You have Marvin.
Well, you do, you just don't know.
We have Marvin, the homeless guy down here that we've seen. And he sleeps on the step of the church, and sometimes we think he's a monster.
Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes he's yelling at the kids that are eating pizza in front of him. You know. But you know you look at all these creatures, and I'm sure there's so many of these creatures that are just so firmly rooted in folklore, and people have hearing these stories ever since they were children. And it's like you alluded to earlier, if you're in the woods where it's a hot Bigfoot area, you're gonna say it's Bigfoot.
You're quite right, there is that aspect to it as well.
Yeah,
I mean, for example, not too far from where we live just outside Dallas, Texas, just on the outskirts of Dallas, not too far away, only about a 20-minute drive, there's a place called Lake Worth, which is the large forested area with this big lake. And back in the summer of 1969, there was a spate of sightings of a creature that became known as the Goat Man, sort of like this hairy, cloven-hoofed, almost like a classic satire from, you know, ancient Greek mythology, that sort of thing.
Right.
And, you know, everybody was out in the woods with guns looking for the Goat Man and shooting anything that moved. And in the end, the police came in and shut it all down. So, you know, we don't want somebody blowing somebody else's head off in the heat of the moment. But, you know, there's a lot of legends around the town of Lake Worth now where everybody knows someone who's seen the Goat Man. Now, I think a lot of it today is sort of folklore-based.
Yeah.
But it has, I do believe it has a basis in the fact that somebody, a group of people, did see some sort of weird creature that maybe, you know, who knows, it was passing through, like a nomadic creature. But the folklore developed from there to where, you know, it's almost like the old house in town. Everybody knows the story about somebody was murdered there, but nobody really knows who it was. You know what I mean? It's kind of that sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the thing of it is like the story in another Wisconsin tale, The Beast of Bray Road. That was a big werewolf type story. Yeah. And I don't know if you ever went to Wisconsin to investigate this case or not, but did anyone ever find any evidence of this Beast of Bray Road?
Well, you know, the one person who's done more research than anybody else is Linda Godfrey, who's actually a friend of mine. I wrote the introduction to one of her books, Hunting the American Werewolf. And again, you know, I'm personally convinced from Linda's very in-depth research that there is a Beast of Bray Road, or Beasts of Bray Road, you know, weird wolf-like creatures in that area. But, you know, it's like Loch Ness, that now a whole cultural phenomena is built around this creature. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, it's become ingrained within the folklore and mythology of the area. Now, that doesn't mean that there isn't anything there. I actually think there is. But, you know, it's when sometimes in these cases that the power of the mythology and the folklore surrounding the creature almost overtakes the reality of it, because it becomes such a cultural phenomenon, if you like.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. Nick, we got about 5 minutes left of the show. How can people find your stuff? How can they get a hold of you if they indeed do see something just absolutely groundbreaking? Mm-hmm. What's the best way to get a hold of you and buy all your great stuff?
Well, best way for people to reach me is my website, which is nickredfern.com, NickRedFern.com. And there's a contact section there, which it has my email address, and that'll just come through to my email account. And I'm always happy, you know, I'm not one of these authors, standoffish ones who doesn't like to, you know, liaise with people and interact and contact. I'm always happy for people to contact me, and, you know, I always try and get back within 48 hours of getting emails. You know, I get a lot of emails, but I always try and reply in 2 days max. You know, always happy to chat with people if people just want to talk or if they want to report to sighting. Again, you know, always happy to hear from people, and anybody got any questions. And people can find all about my books on the website. I've got a new one out right now, actually, called Contactees, which is a study of people who claimed face-to-face contact with aliens. And I've got a lot of blogs which are linked on the website as well, where you can find out what I'm doing, in whether it's UFOs or cryptozoology, by clicking on all the various blogs.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever go to the website Cryptomundo?
I do. I know Lauren Coleman very well. Yeah, so saw Lauren in October at a conference in Boston.
Oh, good deal. Good deal. Great website. Great website over there.
Yeah, I like Lauren. Lauren's a nice guy. And the good thing about Cryptomundo is that, you know, you can go there every day, and it's got such a variation of breaking news stories. Yep. And with a combination of, you know, Lauren's good at bringing out a lot of old newspaper reports, you know, from the 1800s that most people probably never heard of. So you can go there and get, you know, find the latest book story, new books, breaking stories on Bigfoot, or a, you know, 120-year-old newspaper report on a sea serpent or whatever. So, yeah, I like Cryptomundo.
Yeah, definitely. Cool. Definitely. That's a great site. But we're going to break with tradition a little bit tonight, and we're going to go to break a couple minutes early so we can go ahead and get to the big news that everybody's been waiting for tonight. And we'll be right back after this. You're listening to Z-Talk Live right here on these fine radio networks. UPRN 105.5 FM, Z-Talk Radio Network, Planet Paranormal, and Free Time Radio.
Merry Christmas! Ho, 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 ho! Oh, I just sat on Tiny Tim!
At treasureforallusa.com, we know you don't want to think about it, but Christmas time is coming. Here's just a few things that you can find at treasuresforallusa.com. Yeah, bathroom decor, bassets, birdhouses, blankets, comforters, quilts, candles, candle lamps, children's toys and games, Christmas clocks, collectible dolls, curtains, window panels, crystals, dining room items, living room items, bedroom items, dragons, eagles, Elvis, fairy flag, gang surveillance system, gifts for the whole family, pirates, golf, Halloween stuff, hidden cameras, nanny cams, horses, incense burners, NFL, NASCAR, MLB, mirrors, pepper spray, picture frames, pocket knives, religious bulk items, robots, security, self-defense, skulls, swords, tables, tools, unicorns, Victoria Jackson products, Wii accessories, water fountains, Western accents, and that's just a sample of what you'll find at treasureforallusa.com.
Each year, thousands of children become very ill and some even die because of influenza, also called the flu. I'm Dr. Richard Carmona. As 17th Surgeon General of the United States, I asked all families to get their children immunized. And now I'd like families to pay special attention to getting their children vaccinated against influenza. Children should be vaccinated against influenza each year, either during the fall or winter. And to avoid spreading influenza, parents and anyone in contact with babies or children should also receive the influenza vaccine. Together we can protect our most vulnerable citizens, our children. Please contact the healthcare professional today to schedule your child's influenza vaccination. Thank you, and for more information, visit PreventChildhoodInfluenza.org. PreventChildhoodInfluenza.org.
A message from the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases Childhood Influenza Immunization Coalition.
Hi, this is Joel Sturgis, General Manager of Z-Talk Radio. You may know me better from talk radio shows such as Airstrike Radio, Haunted Voices Radio, and Z-Talk Live. I have a question for you. Have you ever listened to talk radio and said, hey, I can do a better job than those hosts? Or have you ever wanted to learn how to be an online broadcaster? Internet radio is quickly becoming the wave of the future for both amateurs and professional radio hosts alike. Now here's your chance to learn how to be a radio host. Todd Bates, owner of Haunted Voices Radio, and myself will teach you all that is necessary to pursue your radio dreams. Here is just a few things you'll learn at the world's first online broadcasting training course. The art of the interview. How to run your online broadcasting equipment. How to successfully book guests. And much, much more. So if you're interested in the world of online broadcasting, call 218-305-4676. That's right, 218-305-4676. Or email Joel at ztalkradio.com. And if you already have an online show, we offer interview coaching as well. Come start your online broadcasting career with us today.
You're listening to Z-Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back to Z-Talk Live, and this is normally the part of the show where we have sports, but tonight we're not going to do sports, because really nothing has changed in sports this week. Instead, we have a big announcement coming from our friends over at Free Time Radio, which is really a great thing for everybody, and I'm going to let you guys have the floor, you and Scotty and Justin and Derek, if you're here. You guys all can have all take the floor, guys.
Justin, hey, you there?
Derek. Oh, I'm here.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. What's happening?
Good. Hey, we've been pimping this thing all night here, and now it's here. And the big announcement, ladies and gentlemen. And if we had a drum roll, we'd play it. But now I just had my fat belly.
We'd like to
welcome the all the people at Free Time Radio over to the Z Talk family. They're becoming an affiliate of the Z Talk family. Is that incorrect?
Oh yeah, that's pretty much what we're doing. We're coming on a board as an affiliate of the Z Talk Radio, which will be called Z Talk Rocks. And pretty much what it will entail is that, you know, coming aboard to the Z Talk family, we'll be playing music of all varieties. Country, rock and roll, rap, you know, hip-hop, R&B, blues. Pretty much whatever you want to hear, it'll pretty much be there. And
that is right.
Whenever, you know, Z-Talk goes live with whatever programming, whether it's, you know, Past Your Bedtime, Z-Talk Live, Rant and Rave Radio.
Yes, that's a good show, too.
Yeah, Shameless Plug.
Another round of Shameless Plug.
Man, I love those dear...
We'll be carrying that programming as well. I mean, we're pretty much, you know, just coming together with Z-Talk and, you know, expanding already a growing radio empire.
Right. Yeah, that's what we want everybody to know. It's we're coming together and working together for this, and we think it's going to be great for both of us, because I've already talked to Derek, and I haven't talked to you yet today, but big old Scotty is going to spin some records over there on Z-Talk Rocks, too. And I think it's going to be great for both of us. It's really going to give our listeners something else to do at different times. So if you like the show that's on Z-Talk, then you come over here and listen. And if not, head on over and listen to our radio station during the day. It's all going to be one. It's the same shows. The same people are going to be involved. And it's all of us, and it's just be like another station, something else to listen to, you know, so you can pick and choose your favorite shows, or if you're working around the house and you want to listen to something, Z-Talk Rocks will be there for you guys. So, I mean, it's going to give a wide variety for everybody out there. It's going to be two different stations. And Derek's got to stop moving his mic around.
Yeah, no kidding.
No, hang on.
Oh, no. We're live on the air, man. Oh, hang on. Hang on.
Yeah, yeah, hang on. Stop the show.
Yeah, we'll just wait.
There. Yes.
But that's pretty much what it is. It's, you know, the same radio network, two separate stations, but both working together. That's exactly. Pretty much, I mean, that's why it's called Z Talk Rocks, because it's part of Z Talk Radio. We're just coming together and, you know, doing something that... What in the world?
I know.
We got aliens from Nick Redfern here. Nick, yeah, you guys yeah, stop by. Here to yeah. Find out who they are.
Oh, that screwed my mojo all up. I'm sort of trying to be professional and give my little spiel, and I start hearing something. I'm like, ooh, something shiny.
Yeah, but here's the other thing. Is Freak the sock puppet? By the way, that's what he goes by. So,
actually, but I just go by sock puppet. That's Derek that put the freak on.
I like Freak though, man. I love it. Anyway,
I'll answer to any. I don't care.
Anyway, you are becoming the general manager of Z Talk Rock. So.
Oh, he already is. Yeah, most definitely.
And he'll be working with me, the new general manager over here. So it's going to be great. I mean, it's very similar to what is out there right now for most of your TV networks are this way. Most of the TV networks that are around are affiliated with another group, yet they put their own programming on, but they share programming. And they share the hosts, and they share, you know, the resources, and they share together, and they work together to make, you know, TV better for everybody in every market, you know. And that's basically what we're doing.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same, but it's, you know, it's the same, and it's separate at the same time.
Right. Yeah, we're all working for the same goal. We're the same people. We're the same organization. We got the same sound, same fun, same as everything. But we're going to do things a little different. I mean, over at Z-Talk Rocks, they're going to do music, and, you know, they might end up even having some of their own original programming over there at different times than we have on here. But it's all going to work. We don't know where it's going to go yet. We're just starting this, and it is going to be one of the greatest combinations out there right now. And yeah, and something, you know, it really makes our statement as a company, as Z-Talk, you know, the best in alternative talk radio, and that's what we are.
And that's pretty much what Z Talk Rocks is going to be, the best in music.
Yeah.
You know,
oh,
I can't
definitely
say alternative, but, you know, because that's just one genre, but I mean, the best in all your musical needs. Z Talk Rocks.
Absolutely.
And that's going to, what's really going to do it is because, you know, some people, I mean, we've got now Z Talk as a whole, we've got pretty much everything you want, news, talk, and now music.
Right.
So, you know, there's no need to go anywhere else, folks. We got it all right here.
Yeah, and occasionally, yeah, to answer a quick question, occasionally you might see some Z-Talk radio host personalities from the talk shows going over to Z-Talk Rocks and spinning records every now and again.
Yep, we're all looking forward to it. I mean, that's what it's all about. You know, we all want to be a part of this, and, you know, and if people want to be involved, they can get a hold of me. Or Justin, and we'll end up giving you. We'll get out your email. It'll be on the website here soon. We're gonna update our website.
Yes, we can hear you. We can hear you, Derek.
Okay, good. You know what happened? I had my microphone on mute.
Well, that's what we said, dude. Take it off mute.
Sound blaster was nuts.
Here in radio,
it went down completely nothing.
And I was about to say, you had Derek White Sky Cloud is going to be the assistant general manager with me over at Z Talk Rocks because of his experience.
He can't even unmute his...
I don't know if I want to make that statement now, though.
And I'm not going to tell you that he's taking
off the computer as reloading programs. And
you got to stop reloading stuff, Derek.
Yeah, I was putting in new programs, and it knocked out the mic, and I wasn't real. I didn't even check, like, on the microphone, like, you know, the surround mixer. But on the record area, I actually had the microphone on, but the sound volume went down, right down to zero. And I didn't realize it was down to zero, so I had to put it back up. And it was, oh, dumb. Bloody I wasn't even looking at the bloody thing.
Well, you also have to remember, everybody, Justin, I'm going to use your real name. I can't call you the freak sock puppet. I can't do it.
I can't do it. You're
Justin. You're a radio professional. Justin is looking for other radio professionals to become DJs over Z-Talk Rocks. So yeah, if you're interested in becoming a DJ, or even if you have the drive to really do this, to really learn from Justin, I'm sure Justin would also teach a few people with the right drive and the right mentality, wouldn't you, Justin?
Of course, if you can work a computer, and I mean, if you've got the knowledge on how to run a PC, if you've got basic knowledge and you're willing to learn, I mean, that's how I started. I knew how to work a computer, but I didn't know how to DJ, and somebody pretty much sat down with me and was like, okay, this is what you do. That was 4 years ago. Now I'm running a radio network. Yep. You know, I'm running my own station. You know, I'm, you know, general manager of a in a radio network. So, yep. I mean, you know, it's not that difficult, you know. So, I mean, yeah, if there's anybody out there listening right now that wants to be a personality, yeah, I mean, all you need is your computer, your own music, and a little bit of time, and I'll make you a star, baby.
See, now, Justin, though, this is the one thing that we want to stress, and we do stress it over here at Z-Talk, too, is the fact that it does take work.
Yes.
It does take a dedication that you have to have, and that's what we're looking at in our new network. You just can't come in here and think you can come on the air in 2 seconds and get on the air. It just doesn't work that way. There is a lot that goes into running these networks, and we want people that are dedicated. Yeah, we want people that are dedicated. We'll help you get it. We'll help you learn, but you have to learn. You have to take the notes. You have to practice, and that's what we're looking for.
And another thing is, you have to be here. If you have a scheduling conflict, can't use you. I mean, it takes dedication because the station and the network as a whole, Z-Talk Radio, is not going to go anywhere if people are only half-heartedly interested in it. I mean, if you want to do it, but you have a scheduling conflict, you know, I'm sorry, you know, that's not going to work. But, I mean, if you have the drive and you have what it takes and you have the time to do it, by all means, you know, because like Scott said, you know, it's not a fly by night gig. I mean, it's 4 years later for me doing it, and I learn something new every day.
We all do, and it would be silly to say that we don't. I mean, there's things that come up all night long. You know, there's situations and problems.
Oh, absolutely.
And you got to think quick on your feet. You know,
I've been doing this for.
It's just a dedication.
Yeah, it's like me. I've been doing this for 19 years in broadcasting.
And now you got a big gig.
My first gig started many, many years ago. It was like 28 years ago when I was actually a DJ in nightclub. And that's where it started. I used to spin records before anybody else pretty well did internet radio. You know, like it never existed then. So the first thing you're depending on is the public is, you know, what music's going to play. The public's attention is going to sit there either or dance to it.
Well, what do you guys say we open up the phone lines to some of the hosts that might have a few questions, as long as we're all here, that we may be able to answer right away, which call-in number is 262-672-2488. If you want to go ahead, give that a jingle. If you have any questions about how the new format might work a little bit, or whether you want to become a DJ or what have you, feel free to give that one a call, and we'll answer all your questions to the best of our knowledge. Because bear in mind, we're still a little bit, we're going to figure it out. These guys are going to figure it out as they go, what's going to work the best and how to make it work the best.
Right. I mean,
yeah, we're going to take, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that's all right, man. It's just learning. It's going to be a learning situation for all of us. You know, we're taking this to the next level, you know, and it's a great idea. It's something that Joel and I thought of from the beginning, that we've always wanted like this, and now that Justin and Free Time that comes over and joining us as Z-Talk Rocks, you know, this really fits all of us right now, and I think this is going to be great. I think we're going to have a lot of fun, and I think it's going to be a place to hang out right here on our website. You'll have the links here, chat rooms and everything. We'll be doing the same type of things, you know, so you'll be able to hear the music the same, all that fun stuff. So
the only different thing that's going to be going on is all hate mail is going to Scotty.
Yeah, he is the new general manager of Z-Talk Radio.
I mean, trust me, people will tell you, I got my reputation as a DJ, and I didn't get it as a good one either. I have no problems with telling you what I feel and pretty much hanging up on you. I have done it before. I will continue to do so. So, I mean, yeah, I don't mind answering hate mail.
They shoot horses, don't they?
Hey, we did bring a caller in. Caller, sure. Who are you? And welcome to Z Talk Live.
Hi. How is everybody? Hi, Scotty.
Oh, hi, Emmy. How are you?
Hey, Emmy. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, Joel. I'm here. Anyway, I just wanted to call and say, hey, congratulations. This sounds like fun.
This is going to be great. Yeah, this is going to be really fun.
And you know, I want a DJ sometime. You know that.
I know we all do. We got to put a show together where it's all the hosts can come together if they don't want their own show, and then we can just divvy it up, you know, during the week, you know, different show hosts. I think that might be cool too. So,
you guys figure it all out.
It sounds
and there's something else that Scotty and I were talking about, and we may be doing this for the youth, which basically is called After School Rock.
Yep.
Where most of the kids that are coming up to school, there are some young guys that want to break it into the industry, so we get an opportunity to have their chance to, right after school, they can actually spend an hour of their time playing, spinning records or playing music.
Yeah, but see, my son's going to come on and do some of that, so that's going to be cool. So, yeah. Hi, Allie, how are you?
Awesome.
This is Allie Cheslick's on with us. How you doing, Allie?
Good, how'd you know it was me?
Oh, because I have your number.
We know your caller ID.
Did you get hit in the head with a bagel before I called in? What is that?
What do you need? Come on.
What are you talking about? I have no idea. Hey, so you know how you make a Jewish woman moan?
No, how?
How?
You tape a credit card to the headboard.
Oh, God.
What that is, I have a friend of mine that's, she's Jewish, and she's listening right now. And she's probably banging her head on the keyboard.
Well, I feel sorry for her. She's listening right now.
I have every right to talk about Jewish women. My mother is a Jewish woman.
And so are you then, by proxy.
I can tell by talking to you. You got on the line earlier. When I was listening to your show earlier, I heard you talking. I was like, you know, I'm not racist, but, you know, I've really come to, like, discern nationalities just by the tones of people, you know, just their voice. And I was like, her voice reminds me of that old SNL character Mike Myers used to play.
I'm all of a Clem.
Yeah, that's it, you know.
Yeah, but here's the thing. My dad was an Arab, so I don't necessarily wear turbans and run around the house saying I have oil, but, you know, my dad was Lebanese. He's a rest in peace. My mom's Jewish and Italian, and everybody came from Brooklyn. And then, you know, then they retire from New York and Long Island. They move down to Florida, and they die. That's the routine.
That's horrible. I mean, so basically, you know, on one end of your bloodline, you've got the people that were, you know, back about 1,000 years ago killing Jews, and on the other end, you got, you know, the Jews themselves. That has got to be like one of those, you know, when you get to heaven or something, God's going to be like, all right, how did this happen?
Yeah.
Well, apparently, you know, if we go by the sum that we pick our parents, we pick our life, and we walked these paths, you know. Actually, it was a real blessing because my mom was Jewish and my dad was Christian, Lebanese. And so it really was truly a nice mix, you know what I mean?
That's awesome. I mean, that's not something you come across.
But I'm not rich. They were both poor. I got like the bottom of the kitty litter with them too, but it's all right.
But you're on the entertainment side because you have rich, powerful Jewish people. Then you got, you know, rich, powerful entertainment people. And then you got just the... my personality,
and then you have me.
And they got credit cards attached to headboards.
I have to say, when Derek told me about your guys merging together there and doing music, and I love that because truly, you know, I think any show that you listen to, even on talk radio, you know, there's always some music somewhere connected in. And I think music, you know, is one of those things that everybody resonates to music, you know, whatever type of music, you know, you're into. But I'm looking forward to it.
Yep.
I'm dedicated, damn it. Okay, never mind.
No, we're happy to have you on the network. It's awesome.
All right, real quickly, guys, I got to go, and I want to say love and light to all of you. Have a great evening, but I got to get back to work.
Okay, Emmy, thank you so much.
See you, Emmy.
Thanks,
all right. Bye-bye.
I have a fun group here, and I want to thank everybody. I want to thank Joel for everything he's done. And I know that you'll be around with us through this all thing, and you'll be here, and we wish you mega, mega success in your new endeavor, man.
Oh, thank you. Absolutely.
You're going to be awesome, and we know it. So, and
he gets to work with Master Bates.
Yeah.
Yeah, Todd and I, we're going to rip it up. That's right, Master Bates. God.
But, you know,
I just want to say thank you, guys.
Sealed
our ratings, and we haven't started yet.
I just said he got to work with Master Bates.
Oh, yeah, Derek and I.
Excuse me, Derek.
He's the head of the industry.
In the field you work in, Derek, it's called metabaiting.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, I see those ratings going.
Yeah. Oh, God, masturbates. Like, Todd hasn't heard that a million times.
Exactly.
But where would someone go apply? I'm getting a lot of that in the chat room, Justin.
Where would they go to apply? Yeah. Well, right now the Z-Talk Rocks website is being developed as we speak.
So you can send it to me, and I'll send it to Justin. You can get me at scotty@ztalkradio.com.
Or you can reach me. I am on, I've actually got to get that email set up, my business email. But you can reach me on Skype. It is Freako the Sock Puppet, like Freko the Sock Puppet, all one word, lowercase. You can reach me there. Like you said, you can get a hold of Scotty. He'll get a hold of me,
yep.
And I'll get a hold of you. With an email address or, you know, a phone number or whatever, we can call and talk about it.
Or they can call the 262-672-2488 number and leave it. That's over here. It's Spooky Scotty. That's my number here. Just leave it on here.
And also, I got to get the call-in line. Well, I got the call-in line set up. I just got to turn it back on for the radio side as well. I'll get that set up and, tomorrow and... That'll also be a good contact number. But, yeah, get a hold of Scotty. He'll get a hold of me. And basically the only requirements that really have is, you know your way around a computer, be dedicated, and have the time. Everything else will fall into place, you know, and don't be shy.
Exactly.
Oh, see, maybe we could have two shows, one on Z-Talk and one on Z-Rocks.
Yeah, Z-Talk Rocks, yep.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of simulcasting. Yep, absolutely. But guess what, guys?
We're out of here.
Another one to put to bed. It was a fun time with Nick, and we want to thank him for coming on, and thank you everyone else that had listened in, and especially thank you to Derek and Justin and everyone else that called in. Good night, all.
This has been a production of the Z-Talk Radio Network.